So we'll end our table here, and we'll continue with our last message. If you could turn to page 9. We're on message 3. The title is Love is Kind. Amen. Wasn't that so good? I hope our appreciation for the Lord's table will be uplifted. Amen. This is one of the very few things our Lord says, do this until I come. But this wouldn't just be something we do Lord's Day by Lord's Day in a common way, but our appreciation would be uplifted. Right. Well, my name is, for those who don't know, my name is Mark Uy. My wife and I, we meet with the church in Cambridge. It's in Massachusetts, in the greater Boston area. I'm so happy that I get to be with you all in this first middle school conference here in the Northeast. Amen. And so, you know, we're on message 3. I'll cover the first Roman numeral, and then Brother Shepherd will continue. And do you still remember the two words that were covered at the end of the second message? Believe and enjoy, right? And we just need to believe, and we need to come and enjoy by opening our mouths, by eating in a practical way. And I was considering, many times, you know, this whole conference has been on the kindness of God. Many times, when I don't feel so kind, many times it's because actually I'm hungry, even spiritually speaking. You may know this word, hangry, which is you're hungry and you're angry, right? Even for you don't have to be a middle schooler, even the children of Israel, even adults, when you're not supplied, you're just not so happy, and in turn, you're not as kind. And just considering, you know, eating, there's many ways to eat, but the point is this, we have to eat, we have to open our mouths to enjoy, whether it's, there's set meals throughout, or if you're ones that like to snack, don't forget to eat. This is true in the physical sense. This is also true in the spiritual sense. We need to be supplied, okay? Now, I'll start by reading the title, Love is Kind. And where is this from? This is actually from the first verse. If you even want to just point an arrow to that first verse in 1 Corinthians 13:4. It's a famous chapter on love. But I'll just read it. It says, love is kind. Okay? So do you know where this comes from? Even, you just consider that, what is love? It's not just an attribute. It's not just a thing. But our God is love. Amen. Okay? Write this down. 1 John 4:8-16. 1 John 4, verses 8 and 16. I'll just read part of it. It says, God is love. So this very God whom we loved, who died for us, he is love himself. In turn, this kindness is not just an adjective, not just a feeling, but this is God. God is our kindness. Okay, so I'll read the first Roman numeral. You can follow along. David's kindness to Mephibosheth signifies the kindness of God. So by now, you should be familiar with this account, which really happened in 2 Samuel chapter 9. David showed kindness to Mephibosheth. So if you just remember from the brother speaking, who does Mephibosheth point to? Who's a Mephibosheth? Raise your hand. All of us. All of us are the Mephibosheth, right? And who is David? Jesus Christ. He is our David, showing kindness to us, okay? Even the kindness shown to Mephibosheth is the kindness of God. But I want to, actually, this is, as we're sharing, this is kind of the burden that the kindness of God would not just be towards us, but towards others. And how can that be? So, like we all just raised our hands, we're the Mephibosheths. Our legs are forever lame, but they're covered on the table. As we focus on the Lord, we forget about ourselves. Sometimes we have problems, we just need to forget about it. We need to forget about ourselves and look away unto Jesus. Amen. But actually today I want to kind of point out, and this will be brought forth, that the kindness of God can be expressed through us. Amen. Not just to us, but through us. Amen. Okay? Because as if we've received the Lord, we've received this very kindness. I'll just read the sub-points. A, kindness is the benevolent goodness that issues out of the mercy and love of God. Actually, you can put these, you can write this kind of equation. The love of God and plus God's mercy equals kindness, right? Kindness is something we don't deserve, and kindness is actually with a particular consideration. But we didn't deserve this kindness shown to us, even in Romans 2. It's leading us to repentance. We weren't forced by God to turn to him, but his kindness melted us. In certain translations of the, in translations of the Bible, you have the word mercy. But actually, I like in our translation in our Bible, in the Recovery Version, there's a word loving kindness. It's sweeter. It's not just mercy giving something that we don't deserve, but we have loving kindness. And this is what was shown to us. This was shown to Mephibosheth, shown to us. And then I'll read B before I kind of give an experience. B, it is the kindness and love of our Savior God that saved us and made us different from others. Young people, I hope you realize as believers, as Christians who love the Lord, we're different. We're not better. We can't say it was anything of ourselves that caused us to be this way, but when we receive the Lord, we receive his life. Amen. And one aspect is we receive not just his love, even we receive his kindness. This is what makes us different. In the past years, a lot of different things, we were in the pandemic, but even the social things, the social unrest, and the response is not merely just to be nicer, be kind in ourselves. If that makes sense. You just realize the kindness of God is not our kindness. We have an outward shell. We have a desire to care for our fellow man, but actually it's limited and we aren't able to, okay? So you just realize that this is the kindness that makes us different, okay? This is what we have, not to be boastful and proud, but actually this is what the world needs. This is what classmates need. Even this is what our family needs. And so this is what we have. And, we come to the conference. It's an awesome experience. After this, we'll have an opportunity to overflow. And then we'll have lunch. We'll have to witness the baptisms. But as we go home, I hope that we would not stop in our experiencing of the Lord, in his kindness to us. And as we see in this third message, that this could be expressed through us. Amen. So, I don't know if you see, after every message, there's kind of those discussion questions, right? So in our group time yesterday for message 2, in page 8, there was one of the questions, in what ways has God sought after you, even if you may not have sought after him? The Lord, he reminds us through the word. Through a song. It's so good that we can sing. He'll just remind us with the song, even if we're not thinking about him. He'll just spring up within us. But then it was even brought out, and this was my experience, that through the other brothers and sisters, God appears to us. God is in the saints. God is in our brothers and sisters. So sometimes when we're going about our day, this was my experience, we might even be thinking about God. Someone appeared to me. So what happened to me one time, I was much younger, and actually what happened in this context, I was not happy. I was probably not supplied, and this was actually, I was at home. And I don't know what you do when you're upset and not happy. I just went to my room. I closed the door, and I was just by myself, just figuring out what to do. But out of the blue, a brother called me. And he didn't know where I was. He didn't know what was going on. He just called me and was just like, hey, Mark, I just thought of you. He just shared one simple thing with me. And it was a very short call. And then we hung up. In that moment, it was the kindness of God appearing to me. Amen. And he didn't know. I didn't know this is what I need. So actually, I want to kind of flip the question. Have you ever considered God reaching after the ones around you who may not be searching after God? This can be applied to just all over. It's not just our family, but even our friends. There's many people, actually the Bible says, no one is searching for God. No one is seeking after him. But God appears to them, like God appeared to us. You know, I think many of our experience, it's not God out of heaven saying, I love you. You know, which he may, but actually it's through another brother, another sister. Maybe even our coming here was an encouragement, an invitation from our parents, from our fellow serving ones. It's not just to get us to do something, to go, to let us, to have us go someplace. But really, I would say this is God's kindness expressed. That they would know, just as our heart for all of you is that, to come meet to Penuel, which means face to face with God, to receive his appearing. This is God through our fellow man. And so, I'll read C and D. In Titus 3 and 4 and 5, Paul speaks not of grace, but of kindness, love, and mercy. This reaches beyond. This is God in Christ to be our supply. But the kindness, love, and mercy goes beyond that. When we're in a position where we're not able to receive grace, God, the Savior God, appeared. Right? The kindness and love of our Savior God appeared. God is invisible, right? We can't see him. But how is he known? How is he shown? Through you and me. Amen. This is the appearing of our Savior God. You know, if we want our friends to suffer the second death, we can be ones who appear to them. Not in ourselves, not just going around saying, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus, you need to pray with me, but actually it's first by being supplied, first being the ones who enjoy to receive, and then we can be the ones who express the kindness of God. This happens almost spontaneously. We don't even have to try. And then letter D. Kindness is God's attitude in giving us grace. So again, the kindness of God is God as kindness. It's not our own feeling, our own desire, but it's God's attitude, God's heart for us, you know. I could give Shepherd something. I won't do it. But if I just gave him a gift and I just threw it to him, you know, that wouldn't be that kind. Actually, many times it'd be best if you just kind of, you hand it to someone. You know, even that has some consideration. You know, what if they drop it? What if they, you know, don't catch it? But God's heart for us, God's attitude is one of kindness. Even I was thinking, you know, I was just considering my experience when I was a young person, and many times I go to the meetings, and then, or after a conference, and then my parents would ask, well, how's the conference? And I said, oh, it's good. And that's it. And then you just go do your own. Consider. One way that we can show our kindness, our appreciation, is by speaking. You know? We can tell them. It's not like you have to re-speak all the message. Even you could just share one point. One sentence, that could be a watering. We'll have an opportunity for our overflow. But the kindness that we've received, the kindness of God that was shown to us, should not, hopefully, would not stay in us. But it would continue. It would flow out. Sometimes it's very practical. We can just share something that's a verse, even a part of a verse. Even, you know, there's these verses that are on the back of the outlines. You just consider, even in the Summer School of Truth, there's a memorization of the verses. But even through this, we just have a way that as we speak of God's kindness, this is a way that we can share God's heart or the ones around us. You know, maybe I'll just share part of a hymn. This is hymn 921. If you have your hymnal, you can look at it later. We just don't know, you know, it's hard to tell how someone is until you spend time with them, but I would say many times, this is all of our experience, okay? This is in stanza 3, hymn 921. down in the human heart, this is inward, crushed by the tempter. There's many things that happen that crushes us. Feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. This is God's heart towards us, but actually, he wants this kindness that was shown to us to be expressed through us. Okay, so how about this, as I transition, shepherd, could we all read Ephesians 2:7? So in your Bible, let's all read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, ready, go. That he might. Okay, we'll give one more second to find it. Ephesians 2:7.
Ready? Go. Amen. That he might display. Display is an important word. It shows us that God wants this kindness, right? This unsearchable, surpassing riches of his grace. In kindness, to be on open display in the whole universe, right? And so there's really a manifestation of this kindness, like our brother was sharing. And so we'll move into the second half of this outline. In the first, second Roman numeral, we see that one of the items of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, okay? And so the reference here is Galatians 5:22. What does it mean to be a fruit? Well, you could say fruit is a result, right? It's the outcome. It's the expression of a certain life, right? Maybe if you know what a watermelon seed looks like, it's black, it has some stripes. If I show this to you, you might not know what it is, right? But if I plant it and I water and there's sun, right? After a few months, wow, I have this big green, hopefully big, right? Big green round object. There's a certain expression there of the life, right? And so in the same way, actually, brothers and sisters, when we receive the Lord, the Spirit enter into us, and as we enjoy him, right, as we live him, there is a spontaneous expression, right? And of course, there's many things such as love, peace, long-suffering, but also kindness, right? The topic that we were covering this weekend. And so we really, have this burden that going forward, right, like our brother was mentioning, that we would continue, right, to enjoy the Spirit, and so that we could still have this expression, right, of kindness towards others. The following points here, maybe I'll just read the first letter, A, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, in a world of hurt and hatred, we put on inward parts of compassion and kindness. Young people, you probably have now, hopefully, realized, right, in this world that we're living in, it's full of what? Hurt and hatred, right? Earlier this year, we had a lot of us are familiar with, the Olympics, right? And the Olympics were planned, organized many, many years ago. And you could say that it was really meant to bring what people together, right? To have unity, to maybe try to have some sort of oneness. But over the years, what have we seen? What is the development, right? I think this year's Olympics, if you were following even just a little bit, there was scandal, there was doping, cheating, right? There's a nationalistic pride. Everybody is proud of, their country. And while all of this was going on, there were plans to have the largest land invasion since World War II. Of course, I'm not trying to be political this morning, but you just consider for a moment here. This is the outcome of fallen humanity, right? What can we do, right? Actually, I'm not here to tell you to try to go, right, save the world. But actually, this message, right, this whole topic, right, we see this is the solution. This is the solution for humankind, right? Human beings need to meet the Savior God. They need to receive the kindness. They need to see that God loves them and wants to save them from our wretched, pitiful condition, right? And so this is what we need to see, what we need to believe, and what we need to enjoy. Well, maybe I should move on. Let me jump to point C here. And this is the last 2 points is really my main burden. So how about we read point C? How about sisters, you could read it for us. Point C under Roman numeral 2. Amen. Okay, so these last 2 points, I hope, is very, very practical, something that you could take away with. And so the first one is love is kind, right? And this was referred our brother earlier. And in the church life, what do we need to do? We need to be kind to one another. And I would give you a practical point. You know, one way to be kind to one another is through service, right? When you serve in the church, maybe it could just be Levitical. Actually, some of you had opportunity this weekend, right? You know, we asked you to clean the bathroom. We asked you to help to sort out the trash, right? And maybe as you're serving, right, you're enjoying, right, the Lord, you're fellowshipping with the saints, there's a certain happiness, gladness within you. And actually, when you're enjoying the Lord while you serve, did you know you can minister Christ to others? Actually, I can testify. When I was watching some of you, especially some of our helpers this weekend, again, I'm just so glad you're here. Oh, I just felt I was being ministered to, right? Just even last night, there were a few brothers cleaning, and, you know, we were fellowshipping at the table, and they just came over, and they said, oh, are you done with this? Can I take your plate? Oh, I just felt watered. I felt, wow, kindness just reached me, right? And so, young brothers and sisters, don't despise your youth, right? You have an opportunity to display kindness in the church life. Another aspect of our service is children's service. How many of you are involved with the children's service? Maybe if you're in middle school or high school, college, oh, it's so good. You know, if you're involved with the children's service, you directly show to me and my family. I think some of you met my 3 little boys. They're of that age. And I can't tell you the countless times, right, over these last several years, right, the brothers and sisters, especially the younger ones, right, playing with them. I mean, this happened again this weekend, right, playing with them, making them happy, cherishing them. This is how we could show the kindness of God in a practical way in the church life, okay? So I hope you would all continue. And maybe if you're not in the service, right, go back, talk to your serving ones. I want to get involved, right? You'll love them. Trust me, you'll love them. You'll love the little boys and girls. Okay, there is another aspect of this point on the church life, and that is, you know, the church life, especially for a lot of you who live with parents, maybe uncles and uncles, or anyway, guardians who are believers, we need to have this other view of the church life, and that is the church life is really an extension of our family life, right? So whatever we are in our family, right, if we just extend it out, actually that is the church life. What we are at home, right, should be the same as what we are in the meetings, right? There's no discrepancy, right? So, but when we touch this matter of the family life, right, you're not too young, or you're not, you realize that sometimes to show kindness to those who we live with is very difficult, right? It's very hard. You know, a lot of you have maybe younger siblings, maybe older siblings, right? Is it easy or difficult to show kindness to your blank little brother or little sister? I'll let you fill in the blank, right? I think if you admit, maybe it's not so easy. Do we have kind words at home, right? Do we have words that could bring in grace, right? To bring in encouragement. What about our attitude? You know, a brother gave it an illustration this past weekend about, you know, an interaction with his mother. And growing up, actually, it was very difficult for me, right? And maybe some of you, when you go home, maybe the first thing that your mom tells you, your room, you left it a mess, right? And then you have a certain attitude, right? Maybe you're busy doing something this week, right? And then mom or dad says, okay, it's time to come down for dinner, but mom or dad, I'm in the middle of something, right? What about our attitude at home? Is there an expression of kindness? And then this last point, actually, this is, I really hope you could see this. This is referenced in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, okay? And this is in your packet here and page 10. So I'd like to read at least 32 with to you. So this is Ephesians 4, 32. And again, consider this in the context of your family life, right, at home. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ also forgave you. So this last point, my last point is forgiving one another. You know, in our family life, we really need to practice forgiving one another. This is to show kindness. And when we forgive, right, is it because, you know, sometimes between siblings, and I see this all the time now, it's not really who is right or who is wrong. Just something happened, right? And there's maybe a misunderstanding. Oh, he did this to me, I did that to her, and then I reacted. And okay, so how do you sort this out, right? And if we're always waiting for someone to be the first to forgive us, sometimes we could wait a long time, right? And so forgiveness really needs to come without any preconditions, right? Do we forgive one another in such a way? You know, this subject in 2 Samuel, you know, when David went to seek after Mephibosheth, we had to ask ourselves, did Mephibosheth, or maybe I would say this, did Saul, right? We learned that he was out to get David. You know, did Saul ever come to David and said, you know, David, I am just so sorry for all the times that I was, you know, out trying to kill you, and you know, I wanted you dead, and I'm really sorry. No offenses, no hard feelings, right? But rather, did you not touch David's heart, right? Even though his grandfather was trying to do away with him, right? Oh, what display of kindness towards Mephibosheth. Do you think David had any hard feelings towards Mephibosheth or his family? I don't think so. I think there was forgiveness already, right? And so this is really God's heart towards us. Actually, we are the first to be forgiven, right? Forgiven by God, forgiven of our sins, right? As we heard this morning. Really practice this kind of forgiveness at home. Maybe I could just read to you, or I'll go really quick because of time. There's a story in Matthew 18, and I think it's very interesting because it's in the context of the Lord revealing, right? Whenever two or three are gathered, right? There I am in their midst. And then Peter then asks this question, right? Lord, how many times Or how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Is it seven times? Why did he ask that? Maybe James had offended Peter six times, right? And then he's just, you know, he wants an excuse. You know, Lord, is it seven times? Then I could get him back or something. But the Lord said, not seven times, but 70 times seven. So that's a large number, right? In other words, actually, all the time, right? And then he gives this parable, and I just want to kind of give you a certain impression here. There was a master, right? And then there was a slave, and this slave owed this master 10,000 talents, okay? 10,000 talents, that's a big sum. It's regarding wages. And if you read later on in the story, you'll see that. So this slave, he was forgiven by his master 10,000 talents, okay? And so he was very thankful, okay? So he went away. And then he met another fellow slave, and that slave owed him 100 denarii. And this, he couldn't let go, right? And actually, it says in the word that he beat him. You owe me 100 denarii. Pay up, right? And so, actually, when the other slaves found out, they were really bothered, okay? Because the master forgave him of 10,000 talents, and yet he couldn't forgive his fellow slave for only 100 denarii. Okay, so I'm going to do a little math here. One talent is about 6,000 denarii, okay? And so if you do the math, and so you could say that 100 denarii is about one-third of a year's wages, okay? So let's just say I just made a number. You make $90,000 a year. A third of that is about 30,000, okay? So 30,000, that's 100 denarii. So if you do all the math, so one talent is actually 60 I don't want to confuse you. It's basically 1.8 million denarii, okay? And so if you then multiply that by 10,000, the amount you get is $18 billion. Okay. So hopefully this could leave you an impression. Imagine you owe somebody $18 billion. Okay. Isaac, you owe me $18 billion. You think you could repay? No, I don't think so. No way. No chance. Okay. But because of my love towards you, I forgive you. And actually, we saw this morning, there was a huge price. I paid that debt on your behalf. Okay? And so you go away, probably very thankful, right? But then you meet Kenyelle, and he owes you $30,000. And you can't forgive him. And rather, actually, you beat him and, you're very mean to him. And so, do you see the significance? Who forgave us of our debt?
God.
The Lord Jesus, right? This immense debt, a debt that I cannot pay, right? And so, what should we do now, right? Actually, this is the verse. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ also forgave you. Amen. Brothers and sisters, never forget. We should never forget. God in Christ also forgave us. And that's why we are here also forgiving one another. Okay? And then lastly, this last point, and then we'll let you overflow. Through being, how about brothers? You could read point D. Amen. And so like our brother shared, when we are filled with this kindness, actually this kindness will be expressed through us, right? Actually, we will have the same heart as King David. I was so touched, you know, in the first verse of chapter 9, right? David is crying out, is there anyone? Is there anyone? That's the feeling God has, right? He's searching, seeking. Is there anyone that I may show, right, my kindness to? And so, for us to show kindness to our friends is just to lead them, right, to the Lord himself, right? It's to, what, to pray for them, preach the gospel to them. It's to allow, right, this Savior to also appear to them so that one day they could also join us at the King's table, right, enjoying all the riches in God's house. That we would all have, right, can only come, again, through our enjoyment, our appreciation of the kindness of God. And so maybe we could just stop here, I think we would like to set up the microphones, right? And I hope, anyways, that we could, even now, right, be able to share something that we were impressed with, enjoyed, over the course of this weekend. You don't need to privately talk, but... How about as the brothers are setting up the mic, maybe we could just pray, maybe as a response, right, to something that we heard this morning, and then we could have some overflow. So for now, just pray with the ones next to you, and then we could have some corporate overflow. Amen.